¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. We're live on YouTube, even though we're recording it. And gracias everybody for joining us. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and Primos Hector Reyes and Ricky Torres in la casa. Hola. ¿Cómo estamos?
Salud, good, man.
What's up? There you go. Happy to be here.
Happy
to celebrate a new holiday.
A new holiday because Hector is Primo Hector. He's so special.
Congress is passing and is making my birthday a national holiday, right?
Exactly. June 19th. Obviously, it's a special day for our familia because Hector was born on that day. But also, it's Juneteenth, so it's going to be a national holiday. So, Hector, you never have to work on your birthday for the rest of your life.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
Oh. Well, I will say it's kind of cool because your occasion and the fact that everything is kind of opening up again. Thank you, June 15th. Yes. We're going to get to, or there's going to be some celebration. There's going to be a familia celebration for what feels like the first time in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I feel a little dumb, but I actually thought Juneteenth already passed. And now I'm like, holy crap, I'm actually...
No more for you. And Juneteenth, June 19th, which is the that's the official, like, the recognized day that slavery officially ended, right? That's my understanding. So that's pretty cool. Very cool. So I'm glad that they're making that a holiday. That's awesome.
I'm glad it's being recognized. Yes. I mean, long overdue. But you know, Primo, cheers to you. Salud.
Thank you. Salute
to your birthday. We'll get to celebrate together. Woo-hoo. Sorry, Ricky. You got to work that day, so we'll raise a glass to you. There is a rumor that I started.
That I might have the day off.
I wish. Well, you know, unfortunately, when hospitals don't close, so sorry, Primo. there is a rumor that I started that I put in the ask with El Comisionado, Primo Victor, your brother, to draft our draft order on Saturday.
Ooh, okay. So
generally,
do the lottery.
Yeah, usually, yes. Yeah, we select our draft order. Usually, it's 4th of July has been custom for the last 10 years. And
yes,
so now,
because we'll people get together on 4th of July.
But, yes. Yeah. So since I told Vic that I had unfortunately I had other plans for the 4th of July, so I'm like, okay, come on, can we do it on the so hopefully after a few beers we'll do that, and then we can also talk people into Fab.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We tried to get that started last year and didn't
it's so materialized. Easy,
it's so much easier.
We'll see.
Fab is
I love the tradition we have, because honestly, our whole heritage, it's all about tradition. But our fantasy football needs to change a little, other than just getting more and more expensive. And
I think Vic was also on with Fab. I think he was also on board with Fab. So
he's the one who wants it.
Yeah, I think he wants it.
I can't talk you guys into PPR, but I could talk. I could at least talk.
Fab may.
What do you think of half point PPR? Is that
I like it. I like half point PPR, but I don't think that'll switch. I don't think it'll change. Our league, like you said, it's rooted in tradition.
I kind of go when it comes to scoring formats. I like full point first, and then half point a little bit, behind, and then standard number three. I just don't like everything just being yardage.
I will love standard because it's been the first one I did. It's the one we've done. I've whooped y'all's asses like three times, so I'll take it. I'm in a PPR league that started as a point per rush as well, or a half point per rush, and I've won three championships there too. So I mean, I like them both.
You're dual threat, baby.
But my standards close to my heart because of the family.
There you go.
Well, I'm gonna be. And obviously, you know, we're gonna go bizarro and do the Superflex League, and we'll do some recruiting on Saturday with that.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's gonna be good times, baby.
Yeah, that's
gonna
be good times.
I just love the running back. I love the strong running back, and only standard lifts them that high.
Yes, that's where that's where Derrick Henry's a stud, and so yeah. vamos a ver. my own savage. So yeah, you know, I like playing all different types. So that's the thing. I like the super flex. I like everything. I'm in so many different things. I'm in like two best ball drafts right now, and it's crazy. It's crazy. One's and I'm in one long term dynasty where it's like 8 hours to pick. So wow. It's not loco right now. So this is a fun.
My 24 man league or 26 roster dynasty league took 2.5-3 hours at the most.
Well, you guys were all together, so this one was this one's online. This is people across the country, and it's just, you know, I think we got like multiple time zones and everything. So, so it's fine. Está bien. Está bien. But hey, Ricky, I know we got you for a short period of time because you got to get your fun in when you're not when you're not working.
When you're not saving the world, you got things to do.
Yeah. Let's get into some chisme.
Chisme.
So I don't know what, you know, when it comes to your knee, I don't know what's minor knee surgery, but Rashad Penny underwent minor knee surgery and he got
just to like withdraw fluid or
it just said scrape. had a little work done.
They say like you go in there and scrape stuff out of a knee. Like that's what I've heard.
And here we are. We're a year and a half after he had ACL surgery. So December of 2019.
Scar tissue. Take some scar tissue out of there.
So it's a little worrisome. Obviously, Chris Carson's going in as the guy. But anybody, you know, he's the number two guy. And you know what? There's more and more backfields that are getting getting 1-2 punch at your running back. Anybody want to take – either you want to take a late round flyer on this guy?
No one's taking him in redraft leagues. You're stupid if you do, unless you have Carson. I have him in my dynasty league, so I'm a little worried. I just got to get Homer and who's the other guy? DJ Dallas. Both of them are free agents in my dynasty league. I just got to find people to drop. So if I want, I can own that whole backfield. I'm not worried. Penny's a second guy, but they're not. There's no change of guard yet.
Right.
There's no way Penny was going to jump ahead Carson anyways. So
I have a feeling he's going to be a guy who's going to be on the waiver wire. And he's going to have to prove that he's healthy.
Waiver wire for us? Like fantasy or like?
Yeah, in our redraft league. I think he's going to be – I think he's going to go undrafted.
If he doesn't do anything this year, he'll be in the real free agency.
Well, no. Exactly. Yeah, because I think this is his last year of his contract. So, no, I don't think he's. But I don't see him being drafted in our league. So,
right.
I don't know. Zero so, number two. This guy's going to have some interest, even though we've all had mixed reviews on him. Odell Beckham Jr. He's got an ADP right now. Where's he at right now? So he is. I've got it open right now. He is looking like he's pick number 68 in the sixth round of a 12-team of the 12-team league. He's practicing. He's at Browns minicamp. He's right now about 8 months past his ACL surgery. I think he had it in October of last year. So, you know, the fact that he's already practicing at minicamp, I know our amigo, Dr. Edwin Porras he's on his comeback list, which to me says good things. He's 28 years old, a little bit older than you'd want, but he's a stud. He's been a stud.
Yeah, that's for sure. He's been a stud. Let's see.
At one point, he's been a stud. So is Le'Veon Bell.
Right. Yeah. Sixth round. Who's taking a chance on him?
I don't know, man. There's so many. We've talked about this ad nauseum. You know, the receiver position is just so deep.
Yes.
Man. Yeah. There's so many. I mean, why? You know, if I'm there in the sixth round and there's guys that haven't had knee surgery, you know, I'm probably looking. But
Let me give you three guys who are non knee surgery guys. T. Higgins. Okay. DJ Chark and Chase Claypool.
Oh, T. Higgins. I would take T. Higgins over ODB.
I would take Claypool way over all those guys. I'd take Chark. Yes.
They're all.
I mean, Higgins is whatevs.
I like T. Higgins.
But I think Higgins got a better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Baker Mayfield did play well there. second half of the season. Of he didn't play. He wasn't lights out, but he played. I mean, you know, that game, that Monday night game was one of the best games of the season.
He was manageable, and he sucked when they needed him.
Oh, primo, that Monday night game again. Well, he sucked because there was like three weather games that it was just like Mother Nature just said, you guys aren't playing, throwing the football.
Stop doing commercials.
That's right. TV commercials. Let me mess up your living room.
They probably already stopped calling, anyways.
So I will tell you. But you know what? The thing is that the Bengals are going to have a sneaky offense this year. I will say that. Mm-hmm. And the Browns are going to be more of a running team, even though.
Oh yeah, you got Chubb over there. You got Kareem Hunt.
I wouldn't trust Baker either. I'd run it up too.
Well, he's that guy. He's one of those guys that you get as your backup, and then you kind of like, oh, okay, this is the week he's got the great matchup.
Yeah, he's plug and play as your number two.
Yeah, he's not the guy. He's not, he's the guy you're happy you have when you're in a super flex league or two quarterbacks. Mm-hmm, so we'll see. Well, one guy that people are going to be happy on this news, Courtland Sutton. You know, Vic Fangio said that he's not going to start training camp on the PUP list. He tore his ACL in week one last year. God, we were so high on him. Ay, Dios mío,
yeah, man.
We were so high. Lo queríamos mucho. Ay, era amor, era puro amor. they're expecting that he's going to be full go.
Do you still value him high? What's his ADP?
His ADP. Keep talking. I'm going
to
find it.
The only reason I say it is I'm trying to trade for him. Trying to trade a guy who has Sutton. I'm trying to trade the guy Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. And I'm trying to
seventh round.
See, Sutton's not that great.
Seventh round. He's right after Claypool on wide receivers.
As he should be. Claypool's going really late. Claypool's so
good. I don't get that.
We're going to talk about Claypool. We're going to talk about Claypool in an episode of guys who are ranked too low. I think we might do that one next week or the week after that. But he is one of those guys who is ranked way too low right now, and I don't see it. You know what
I'm saying? Sutton because there's too many red flags. No quarterback.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. That's the number one red flag.
No running game. I don't think they're going to have a running game. Also,
now, Aaron Rodgers gets over there to Denver as
also his knee. So that's too many. Yes, and that. Aaron Rodgers changes everything. That's a big
issue. Yeah, it changes everything. Exactly.
The thing with Sutton is it's the first year coming back from the ACL. So, you know, it always seems like, and Edwin also pointed out that it's usually that second year. He kind of reinforced something that it's that second year that guys come back and it kind of takes them that year to be full bore off of the ACL surgery. So,
And plus,
maybe it takes them that long to figure out the quarterback position. If Drew Lock comes in and takes a big step forward, that's a big if. Ricky, don't hate on me because I know you. I know you're not a fan.
Has he shown you in any game that it's like if he keeps playing like that?
He had some flashes.
That's the thing.
He's had plays. He hasn't had games.
That's right.
That's a great way to say it.
I think you said it exactamente. He just has had games. He has had flashes.
The flashes like, oh man, that was amazing. And then like the next play, he throws a pick. Like, wait a minute.
You throws a pick or overthrows a guy.
Anyone can do that.
Yeah.
Any NFL quarterback should be able to do that, but the great ones keep it going after.
Yeah, I mean, consistency. Got to be. Drew Lock has not shown any kind of consistency at all, and that's the problem.
He has a team. They build a team around him. You know what I mean? Like, Elway's not going to not give him a team, but eh.
That's the thing. They have everything is solid on that team, solid to very good, except for the quarterback. So that's the thing that you put a good quarterback in there, and then you may be having a team that takes a jump like the Browns, unless Drew Lock is that guy.
Right.
So almost have it. Well, last bit of cheese, man. Henry Ruggs, Coach John Gruden said he looks much better. Familia.
Of course, he's going to say that. Of course, he's going to say that.
He did say that, but you know what? What makes me kind of think that a little bit more is, you know, our buen amigo Vinny Bonsignor, in our live stream last week, he mentioned that it's kind of put up a shut up time for Henry Ruggs.
Yeah,
and that the fact that they didn't draft another receiver, and that they only added John Brown. that Henry Ruggs and Brian Edwards, it's kind of their time to shine. So I that's why I'm kind of, you know, it's kind of like one of those things to me, you know, I'm calling it right now. If he gets to the 10th round, I'm grabbing him from Ileli. If he's there in the 10, 11, 12 round, oh my God, he's one of those guys that I think
He'll be there. I mean, the guy caught two TDs passes last season. I mean, he's you know, mm-hmm. to most guys, he's an afterthought. You know, why would anyone think that he's going to do anything different? You know, this year, you know, 452 total yards.
You talked about nothing but garbage.
Like, Basura. All right. Well, since we've been talking about, you know what? He's a guy that could, you know, because they need that long term. And you're going to have Darren Waller going crazy down.
And Aguilar's not there anymore, is he?
No, he's with they replaced him with John Brown.
Yeah, Aguilar was that deep threat guy. He caught a couple bombs last year. So maybe Ruggs becomes that guy now.
It could be, or it could be Brian Edwards. I mean, it's those two guys. It's their time. It's their time. And maybe
put up or shut up. That's it, man. You're getting paid. You know, let's see what you got.
Well, some guys that are already getting paid is the wide receivers. The other there's
the top 10 wide receivers. They're top definitely
the ones that aren't on rookie contracts.
Exactly. Well, a couple of them, one or two.
You know, are on this list.
Yeah, but you know, this is the last part in our three-part series of top 10 lists, the early top 10 lists. So, you know, since there's really only three elite tight ends and two or three more that could do well, we are not going to do the tight ends because we'll hit them in a different way later.
Everyone knows.
But yeah, exactly. We know the guys. Tú sabes, familia, you sabes. We're not going to insult you by being repeating, but wide receiver is something completely different. I mean, there are probably 20 guys who could be in the top 10 list by the end of the season. So,
I mean, wide receiver is the one, is that that's the one position that's so fluid. I mean,
and so deep.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. Well, these top 10 guys will probably, you know, half of them will probably be like out of the top 10, you know, officially next year because there's so much movement. There's so many factors, you know, injuries and things like that. We saw it with the running backs last year. We talked about it, that, you know, the top five running backs, only a couple of them, you know, actually made it, you know, were actually top five running backs. So the rest of them were injured or had issues. But yeah, so I'm excited to see how they actually pans out. But this is a nice top 10 list right here. I like this.
No, it really is. And, you know, let's start with the cheetah.
It's a great beginner's list.
I think it really is.
It's a good start.
I think it really is. Hector, you and I both had Tyreek Hill as our number one.
Yeah.
And the more I went into this list,
go for it. I just don't think he is, but
go for it, baby. Go for it. Because I started kind of.
I'd rather you guys talk about Hill, and then when we get to the guy who I think's number one.
Well, heck, go for it.
I know that you think it's AJ Brown, Rick, because you love the Titans offense.
No, not at all. I love Stephon Diggs. and to say that Stephon Diggs isn't going to do better than Hill. They're going to be one.
I mean, look, you know, someone once said, you're the champion until you're not, right? I mean, Tyreek Hill, yes. I mean, obviously, he didn't win the championship. He didn't win the Super Bowl championship, but the guy is just so flat out fast. He's video game fast. No one can touch Tyreek Hill as far as speed. The things the guy does in the field, he's just on a whole other level. And until someone achieves that, or until someone dethrones Tyreek Hill from being the freaking video game that he is, he's going to remain number one. I mean, the guy's got Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. You know, the guy gets to the Super Bowl every year, you know, for the last couple of years. So how can we not say Tyreek Hill? Yes, I love me some Stephon Diggs too. Don't get me wrong. I don't completely disagree with your pick. Maybe Stephon Diggs be like a 1B to, you know, Tyreek's 1A, because it's pretty dang close. But Tyreek Hill, He's just the man right now. No one, I think, from a physicality, speed, quickness, agility, hands, the guy just has everything, and I just can't see anyone dethroning him just yet.
the thing that I like about Tyreek Hill, Hector, that I wanted to add about him is he has the rushing component too. He got two rushing TDs. A lot of these guys, you know, he gets the jet sweeps. They use that speed on
him. He's so quick, man. His cuts, man. The guys, he's just breaking ankles out there. He's nuts. Tyreek Hill's crazy.
He had 15 touchdowns. He scored in 12 of his 15 games. So that, I mean, you know, he's going to do that. The one thing that, you know, I put him at number one initially, and then, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have him number one when it comes to August, because of the fact that he only had 300 yard games. And granted, one of them was 269 yards, where he had like 200 of those yards in the first quarter.
He had blows. He has those blow games. His stats look outrageous. And then when you see that, it's not like he does it every week. It's different. I like my consistency.
And that's the thing.
He can win you a game for 1 week.
He can win you several games. I mean,
he'll win you many games.
No, but I mean, like, he has the ability to be the player that's going to win it for one week. Right. And then the next week,
200,
the next week, exactly. Get like 10 points. So then you're like, oh.
The thing about it is the latter part of the season, Mahomes was really looking. Mahomes, like the last five games and throughout the playoffs, Mahomes really just targeted Hill and Kelsey. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the thing that makes me really, really think with the extra game, I think Hill could be up around 100 receptions for the season. But the thing I would like to see, Ricky, like you said, I'd like to see more consistency. He only had 100 yards three times. So that to me is something that's a little there were some other players who had the 100 yards rushing, 100 yards receiving, plenty more games. So that to me is the only thing I'd love to see a little bit more. You know what? I put a number two on this guy. Ricky, you had Diggs. I had Davante Adams on this one. I mean, his season last year was loco. I mean, estaba loco.
Him there at number two if it's not Rodgers? And is he still in the top 10?
Yes, he's top 10. He's top 10.
He's top 10 with Love?
He's top 10 with Love just from the simple fact that...
Top 10 with Bortles?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. A few years ago, I forget what year it was. It was like 2016, 2017, where Rodgers got hurt and he missed a big chunk of the season. And it was Brett Hundley back there.
Oh, yeah, that was I think he jacked up he cracked his collarbone, I think, right?
Broke his collarbone. He only played one game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Davante Adams was still a top five receiver with Brett Hundley. And so that to me has me thinking this guy is so damn good. It's kind of like, I mean, to me, the thing is Allen Robinson did not have good quarterback play. He got 100 receptions. So I think there's a good possibility that Davante Adams is just so damn good that he's just going to be able to found. It's not going to be anything like what he had last year. I mean, he 10 of 11 games. From week six, he scored a touchdown. This mm-hmm. is like a bell cow, a Lee Caballo running back.
Yeah,
the way he was playing. So that to me has me thinking this guy's so damn good that he might be quarterback proof. But I'm still buying the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. I think it's too late in the offseason for him to get traded. And for the Packers to make to
I don't know, man. He might just take a year off. It's just red shirt.
What team at the right price is gonna say it's too late, guys? Season's already starting. We don't wanna interrupt our flow. They'll be like, hell no, get him.
But the thing is,
imagine here's the Texans thing. Call.
Mike Florio pointed this out, and this is a great idea. This is exactly it. To get Aaron Rodgers, it's going to be draft picks. The draft picks are going to be the same. They're not getting 2021 draft picks. They're getting 2022 draft picks. So what's the difference between getting 2022 draft picks in June or July or January, February, March? It's the same damn draft picks. And actually, if they make a conscious effort with him and say, look, Let's get through this season and we will trade you in the offseason next offseason.
Right.
I think that's what it's going to take. But but you're right.
Who would want to work under that? Like,
the thing is,
I'd be like, bro, I'm MVP. How dare you talk to me that way?
Well,
right? Like,
thanks. Well, at the end of the year, fuck you.
Sorry, excuse me. I'm MVP. Like, come on. Like, he deserves everything. And if they don't want to give it to him,
someone's going to give it to him.
Someone will pay for what he wants and give him everything. Like, well, just whatever it is that he wants that they're not letting him do, someone else is going to do it. And it's like, let him go.
Someone's going to do it. Just like Tampa did that with Tommy B.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Someone's going to do that. And you know what? He deserves it. He's one of those guys. He deserves it.
He's the MVP, man. I mean, it's not like it's just like a legacy thing. Like, oh, well, you know, you're Kobe Bryant. You know, we'll just, because you deserve it, we're going to, do this, whatever, because you've earned it over the years. Like, no, the guy is the current MVP. So, yeah.
I want to know what Green Bay fans who live in Green Bay, who technically own the team, I want to know what they want. And I would say
they want Aaron Rodgers.
But are they – I don't know. What if they say just let him go?
No, they're not going to say – there are going to be some that say let him go. There, you know, the president of the team, Mark Murphy.
Who's that? What's he
his name? His name is Mark Murphy. He has said that the fan base is divided.
Wow.
Some people want to say adios. Adios to Aaron Rodgers. Some people are like, give Aaron Rodgers whatever they want. So maybe it's 50-50 or something like that. But you know what? I think they're a better organization.
It's over.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. There's so much that needs to talk about. You know what? We need to talk about. Let's talk about guys that we know. I got D-Hop. DeAndre. We got D-Hop. DeAndre Hopkins.
Love this guy. And
just dígame, primo. Dígame.
Well, I feel like there's nothing but room for improvement.
I agree.
No matter what, he's got a great quarterback who has nothing but improvement to show because he's so young and Kyler Murray. And to have the first year the way they did where he got 1,400 yards. Did he really only get 6 touchdowns, though?
That's the thing.
So I think now with the offseason and everything, now they can mesh a little bit more. Hopefully develop more repertoire or rapport because DeAndre Hopkins is a beast, especially in the red zone when he played for the Texans, always just jumps up and grabs the ball. So it's like, you know what?
So that's what did all Arizona, what did AZ do last year in the red zone?
They ran too much to where Murray didn't know how to get out of it or Murray would run it in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So why is that changing this year?
Because Murray probably doesn't want to get hit as much. Murray's probably like, hey, they're all going to think I'm going to do this. So the second you see me do this, just stop. All right.
Just flick it over
and
the top.
That's what I mean. And it takes that time to develop that. So right.
To learn that. That's maturity.
Think about it. He's going to pass Devontae Adams, and he's going to be right next to Tyreek Hill.
I mean, 160 targets, man. The guy's going to be a
PPR
monster. Yeah.
PPR, he's going to be right next to Tyreek Hill because Tyreek makes his money on the ground. This guy catches it.
That to me, the thing is, he's got the possibility to be wide receiver one. And I think if he could get 10 to 12 touchdowns, which is very much in his realm of possibility, because
he just needs the rock. Kyler just needs to toss it to him, man. He'll catch it. He is the guy.
He can get 15 easily.
There's nobody else. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, he's the man. He's the man. He's the caballo, the lead caballo receiver there in Arizona.
He had 9 games with 10 plus targets. To me, that's the biggest thing. Target wide receivers. Just give me that guy. You don't think
AJ Green's going to take any of those?
No, he's not going to take it. He's not going to take that. He's not going to take
decoy. He'll be the decoy.
He's let me tell you something.
And Larry Fitzgerald, it's like, dang, they're racking them.
Yeah, he's going to get Larry Fitzgerald's targets. So the Larry Fitzgerald's target. No, you know what?
Old people love Arizona.
SOC. That things don't hurt as much because of the warm weather.
A lot of golf courses.
Yeah.
Oh, muy bien, muy bien. Though I will tell you the one thing: this is a guy who got 10 targets a game last year. I think you're going to see that again, and he's just going to be a stud down. Again. I would not be surprised to get 10 yards. I would not be surprised to see him get to be the number one guy. I don't think
they're strong at running back with just Edmund and Connor. Connor, who's already a little injured or coming off injury, and Edmund's always injured. So, and he's not the tough guy. He's the quick guy. So they need to rely more on the pass because they need to save Kyler Murray. That's their franchise. You can't have that dude breaking an ankle or anything like that. We see it too often. Please don't let it happen to Murray because I want him again in our league.
Oh, I think so. I just drafted him in a best ball league, and it's just like
I think AZ's gonna blow up this year.
And that's the thing.
As Heck would say, get yourself a piece of that real estate.
I will tell you. You know what? I just did an interview in our Beat Writer series with Jess Root, who does Cards Wire, and he covers the Cardinals. And you know, this is a team. They upgraded their defense, both on the back end and on the front end. So, and adding AJ Green, adding Rondale Moore, this is a team that on paper could be really good. They need to do it. Tiene que pasar, but you know what? There's a possibility. One guy who's already done it, number four on our list, Stephon Diggs.
And before we talk about him, I just want to wish you guys luck on the rest of the show. Please, please tell everyone why Stephon Diggs should be like number two or even three.
Well, you already started it. You already started us off, Primo. So, Primo, I know you got to jump. So, give everybody remind everybody where people can find you on Twitter.
Ricky Torres TV. Everyone have a lovely week. And Hector, happy Juneteenth. Happy birthday.
Feliz cumpleaños. Feliz cumpleaños. Adios, Primo. Adios, Primo. Be good.
See you, man.
So, Stephon Diggs, baby. I mean,
yeah, just, I have him. I had him ranked number two.
Yeah, you had him number two. Dígame, baby. I mean, so much to love. So much to love.
I mean, well first off, I think he led the league in targets last year, right, with 166, right?
And receptions.
Yes. So right off the bat, like I said, he's like I said, Stephon Diggs and Tyreek the Freak are right up. They're both on the top of my list. So. I if it came to either or, you know, it may be a coin toss for me, but both these guys are just incredible. Like I said, Stephon Diggs, just the target monster that he is, especially in PPR, he'll be a monster. Led the league in receptions, led the league in targets, 8 touchdowns, which, you know, Josh Allen, again, we're talking about, you know, is he running it in? Is he going to, you know, take a step back with all that running, you know, running the TDs in and, you know, the Buffalo running game. But you know you can't discredit, you know, what Stephon Diggs did last year, and there's no real reason to believe that that's going to change anytime soon. Does he have any kind of competition there from being the elite caballero there, George? I don't think there's anyone else that's really. I mean, there's a Cole Beasley, you know, taking some shots up down the middle and such, but no one really to compete with him, right?
He's the guy. Él es el hombre. And this nombre, I mean, this is a guy who had 10 targets in 9 games last year. And, I mean, he was an absolute stud. He won a lot of people their fantasy leagues because he had that week 16 where he had 9 receptions, 145 yards, 3 touchdowns. So there's a lot of people who love them. Monster. Some Stephon Diggs. Love, and, you know, Primo Nico, that helped him win the championship last year.
Yes, it did.
And I think he got him in, like, the 6th round last year.
Yeah, so, man, way late. He had Diggs late. He got Josh Allen late. That was just like, you know, he got lightning in the bottle, man. Sometimes it just goes that way.
And here's the thing. He only had less than 8 targets twice last year. I mean, so he's getting the volume.
The lion's share, man. There's nothing else that you need to say.
the only thing that can make him take a step back is his coming is Josh Allen. And you know what? I mean, there's a part of me that says Josh Allen, how can he reach those heights again next year? But really, I don't know what's taking away from that other than an injury, and God forbid, ojalá que no, let's light him.
That goes for any tandem, any QB receiver tandem. You know, there's always that, the possibility of, injury, the injury bug. Oh my God. But yeah, I mean that happens all across the league. So, but you don't want to go into a draft, you know, being tentative or scared, like, oh man, what if they get hurt? You know what?
No, you can't
do that.
Everybody's gonna play 17 games.
Exactly. So you just gotta go in there, cross your fingers, light your veladora, you know, and hope that your guys don't get hurt, man. That's what you gotta do. And make your picks confidently.
Well, speaking of guys who we hope don't get hurt, AJ Brown coming off double knee surgery. But he was an absolute beast last year. Initially, I had him as my number three on my list. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to put him at number three. And then the more I looked at Diggs and Hopkins, I just couldn't do it. Not because not because of anything other than the fact that I still think AJ Brown's going to be the number one guy. But I think Julio Jones, Primo Julio, is going to eat into his
targets. Yeah, of course.
But this is a stud, and you know what? Here's a crazy stat that I found. AJ Brown has played 30 regular season games in his career, in his mm-hmm. NFL career. So only twice has he had 10 or more targets.
Really?
Yeah. He needs to get fed. Dame comida.
That's not going to happen, though. I mean, this year is even less of a reason for him to get that. I mean, but think about it. Like, you know, the guy's got
Derek. He's got to get more. He's got to get more, though. You think so? Because, I mean, to me, the thing is, there are three threats on that offense. It's Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. A.J. Brown, and mm-hmm. Julio Jones.
Right.
You just funnel everything to those three guys. Derrick Henry's not going to get any targets. Anthony Firkser will get some. Josh Reynolds will get some. But A.J. Brown needs to be the guy. It's going to depend on the volume because they did not throw a lot, but they were very efficient. They were one of the top 10 teams in scoring. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, though.
You know, talking about, you know, late in the game, you know, garbage time, you know, as Ricky always talks about, you know, if they're going to be leading – like you said, if they're scoring a lot of points, you know, they're top 10 in scoring at the end of the game, that, you know, that if they're leading, they're just going to give the ball to Derrick Henry to run the clock out. And, you know, so that probably factors into AJ Brown's, you know, getting those targets. Sure.
Bien mucho. The thing is, I think they're going to be in some shootouts this year because they're just not, they didn't do enough on the defense. They beefed up a little bit of their defensive backfield, but they need help up front. And so I think they're still going to give up some points because they're not going to have the pass rush. I think they were number 30 sacks last year.
If that happens, then sure, that should lend itself to, you know, not having so many leads. And like I said, being in shootouts and have, you know, maybe coming from behind and having to find AJ Brown a little bit more later in games, and that'll bump up his targets, bump up his yards, bump up his TDs. And yeah, because the guy can definitely do it. Like, he's AJ Brown.
I mean, he had 106 targets last year. To me, there is no reason that with even the 17th game, he's got to get. And granted, he did that in 14 games. And there was one game where he didn't play very much. So really, it's like three games. I mean, it felt like – I remember I had A.J. Brown on one of my teams, and it felt like forever between games that he didn't play because he had like two games where he was inactive, and then they had the bye. So it was like 3 weeks of that A.J. Brown, and it was like, ay, Dios mío, when am I going to see this guy again? It felt like forever. But I look at this guy, and I think this guy could have, you know, 130 to 140 targets – and, you know, 1,200, 1,300 yards, and he's a touchdown machine. He is a touchdown machine. He scored touchdowns in 10 of his last 13 games. He was the wide receiver 5 from week 5 on. So he had 1,036 yards during
that. That's a big deal.
And 11 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns. So that's why, to me, he's a touchdown machine. He's got that great connection with Tannehill. I think he's a guy that's gonna do well, even because when you look at the targets, Julio Jones and Josh Reynolds are going to absorb the targets that went to Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, and Adam Humphries. Some of those are still going to end up going to AJ Brown. So I love him as a possibility.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, where did you have Calvin Ridley on your draft? You had number 5 on your list.
He's
What do you think? There's a lot to like about Ridley this year. So much to like with no Julio.
You're talking about consistency. Matty Ice is just always consistent, you know, and you know, we've talked about it before. Atlanta is synonymous with shootouts. You know, they're a, you know, they're the definition of a pass heavy team. So they're going to be throwing that ball around. Calvin Ridley, he's a target hog. He's going to be getting his 143 targets last year. He's going to be there with Kyle, going to open up that offense. I mean, Matty Ice is going to have his choice, man. He's going to be throwing the ball around. But Calvin Ridley is the man. Julio Jones is gone. And Calvin Ridley is just going to step up and be like, all right, this is my, this is me now. It's me time. You know, it's go time. So Calvin Ridley is going to, he's going to take over. Matty Ice is going to find him. And I think he's, obviously, talking about absorbing targets, he's going to absorb how many targets did Julio Jones have last year? So, I mean, he's going to take brunt of that, distant second. He's going to get his, his passes, but Calvin Ridley is the lead caballo for sure. He's that el hombre, as you say, in the Atlanta pass attack, and he's going to get fed a lot. I have him ranked at number five, but there's a possibility he ends up top three if things go right. Yeah, if things go right, he could end up top three, man, because Matty Ice is going to keep feeding the beast, man, and I think things will have a nice season.
The thing, I love Calvin Ridley. I looked at his numbers on the days, on the games where Julio Jones is gone. Julio Jones is not playing seven games last year. And I looked, and in those games, Calvin Ridley had at least nine targets in every game.
Bingo. I mean, and how many yards?
And he had over 100 yards, five of the seven games.
Exactly.
And he scored in one of the games where he didn't have 100 yards, he scored a touchdown. So really, he only had one game where it wasn't great, and that was Week 17, where things are weird anyway. But to me, the thing that I look at with him, he's going to be a target monster. The only thing that gives me a little pause in starting him I was very tempted to put him in the top three. Because he was a guy who was wide receiver five last year in 15 games. He averaged 12.8 fantasy points. Standard scoring. He had much more points PPR. The only thing that worries me is he had off-season surgery on his foot. So this is something that I want to follow when we get into
Dr. Edwin say? Any feedback from Dr. Edwin?
I didn't see what Dr. Edwin said about him. I do know it's something that he's going to keep an eye on. So I'm going to keep an eye. Our raza doctor, we're going to make sure that we're going to keep an eye on him. Even with Kyle Pitts getting, being the number two, the only thing that's giving me pause is that foot surgery. That's the only thing that's got me a little bit worried. That is the only thing.
Right.
So that's something to keep an eye on. Because honestly,
and if it was, you have it in quotes there, minor foot surgery, right?
Yeah, minor. Yeah, to me, when it comes to foot surgery, nothing's minor. Nada. Nada, nada, nada.
Exactly.
So number seven, we got DK Metcalf. Someone that I know you and I both love. Ricky loves him too. I know Ricky loves him too. You had him number three.
Hopeful DK Metcalf.
Yeah, there's a lot of DK Metcalf love in La Familia. What I mean, there's so much to love about him. What to you, what are the things, I mean, other than the physical ability and everything like that, what is it that you love the most?
Well, the fact that he's on the Seattle Seahawks, first of all. I mean, Russell Wilson is, he's the man. Russell Wilson is, we talk about consistency. Russell Wilson is Mr. Consistency. He's been finding Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf for a couple of years now. And, I think this is the year that Lockett, there's a finally, it becomes official this year. I think that takes a stand, and DK Metcalf officially becomes the man in Seattle. Because, I mean, how could you not? We talked about it before when Derrick Henry a couple of years back was number two, running back. Like, how could, I can't remember the guy's name. Who was the
– DeMarco Murray.
Who was the starter when DK – DeMarco Murray, yes. It's like, how is it possible when you have a guy built like a Mack truck on your, on your squad, but you're starting DeMarco Murray? This is kind of the same thing. I don't want to take anything away from Tyler Lockett because the guy's a fantastic receiver, but this is DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf is just, he's just built different. He's just got, you know, incredible hands, incredible speed, incredible leaping ability. He's built like a power forward in the NBA. And the guy can do amazing things on the football field. You know, why would he not be your lead guy? So I think they've given Lockett the respect and whatnot for the last couple of years. And I think now is DK Metcalf's time. And he's going to, you know, he had 129 targets last year, you know, paired up with Lockett. Still pretty good. I think that's going to take a jump this year. I think he's in the, you know, in a PPR league, he's going to go off. His targets are definitely going to increase. His yards are going to increase. I mean, but the guy, he had 10 TDs last year. You know, I think that's going to go up as well. So, yeah, DK Metcalf. I mean, we can talk about DK Metcalf all day. The guy's he's just a monster. I love me some DK Metcalf.
the only thing to me that me hace cosa is the fact that I looked at his numbers. First eight games, 43 receptions, 788 yards, 8 touchdowns. You double that, then you're talking about like an incredible season. You're talking about an all-timer season. Second half of the season, only 515 yards on 40 receptions, 2 touchdowns. They tried, you know, they talked about this whole, we want to run the ball. They didn't let Russ cook in the second half.
Seahawks.
They didn't look as good.
It was really and what do you attribute that to? Was that like the offensive line? Because
no, they wanted to run the ball. They tried to run the ball.
What was the thinking there? Because they were winning. Russell Wilson was like in the MVP talks conversations. You know, But why change? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. So what was the why did they do that? It doesn't make any kind of sense.
To me, the thing is the new offensive coordinator is coming over from the Rams. So he's got that McVay feel to it. So I'm hoping that there's a lot more possibilities where they get the ball to Metcalf in space, where he could kind of, you know, with his athleticism, he can make some plays, you know, with yards after the catch. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of the first half beat DK Metcalf. I really want to see that. I mean, he's still got Wilson. Wilson's incredible. Wilson's going to be one of the top quarterbacks for fantasy. Yeah. You know, that to me, the only thing that I hate that second half, and I want to see.
But that's more of a philosophy. That's more of like an offensive philosophy. And if they're getting a new offensive coordinator, I think you just kind of like throw that out the window and just, you know, I think they're going to start fresh this year. And obviously, if you and I are talking about it, they're talking about it. And it's just like, what did we do wrong last year? Oh, we decided to run the ball when we have freaking DK Metcalf. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a change next year.
I think he's still going to get a lot. I could see him. I mean, 129 targets in 17 games. I think he's going to be up around 140, 150 targets next season. So, he's one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
I love watching him play. I love
what's not to like, as they say, right? What's not to like?
The speed, the physicality, the catch, the incredible catches. I mean, there was a game against Philadelphia where he had the top cornerback. I forget his name, but he absolutely owned him. He took his soul and he just destroyed him. I think he had for 177 yards on like 12 catches or something like that. Just absolutely.
You just said he took his soul.
He did. He owned him. Awesome. He owned him. And it was incredible. It was, I think it was on Sunday Night Football too. So it was absolutely
that's awesome. Incredible. Yeah, no, but absolutely.
Let's get into Numero Ocho. Numero Ocho. Right. Michael, and you know, he's a guy that we really got to think about, that we got to not forget about. Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. He was wide receiver 95, 95. I mean there's guys on there that I mean you just forget about it. I know you had him at number 11. Mm-hmm. So I mean I look at him, I mean the one thing that I look at Michael Thomas is I'm throwing last year out. He's 28 years old for a receiver that's still very much in his prime, and he's only a year removed from that year where he set the league record for most receptions, 149, and 1,725 yards and 9 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Primo, you have him in a number 11. Is it because the fact that you don't have the faith in the new quarterback and the faith that he's going to come back from health, that he jumped the shark?
It's yes and yes. You know, a little bit of – I'm a little hesitant. You know, obviously, there's only one Drew Brees. You know, and, you know, Michael Thomas, I think Michael Thomas did what Michael Thomas did because of Drew Brees. You know, not to take anything away from Michael Thomas. I think he's a fantastic receiver. I think he can do a lot of great things. But that brings me to the second point that you brought up, which was his foot surgery. And, you know, I don't know the extent of it, but ankle, I think I'd probably prefer foot surgery over ankle surgery, because if you're a wide receiver, your ankle is your, you know, that's your livelihood. You know, you got to make those cuts and make those jumps, and your ankle is, you know, that's controlling everything that you do. And if your ankle's not right, man, you know, you don't have the explosiveness. You don't have the ability to cut. You don't have the ability to do those things that you need to do as a great wide receiver. So I'm a little hesitant. Ankle's a tough injury, you know, as a wide receiver. And again, you know, Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston are not Drew Brees. So I'll take a little bit off. I still think he's a top 10. Or what happened at number 11? I have a number 11.
Yeah, I'm number 11. I put him in number 8.
Yeah, I have him as a top 10-ish wide receiver, but I'm a little bit – there's guys that I would take ahead of him. I'm a little hesitant just based on those things that I mentioned.
You know, I'm a little optimistic if it's Jameis Winston who's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is Taysom Hill still fed him, but I'm looking at the fact that I think Jameis Winston is going to do a little more downfield. And I think he could unlock something that hasn't happened with Michael Thomas. And to me, Michael Thomas is a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this year he's going to be like, look, I want to prove that I'm the man, el hombre.
Right, right. Kind of like Kobe, like I can do it without Shaq kind of thing.
Muy bien, muy cierto.
You know what I mean? Kind of that attitude. Yeah, so – yeah, no, to your point, I agree with you. I think Michael Thomas does play. He's very, you know, what was his Twitter? His Twitter handle is Can't Guard Mike.
Can't Guard Mike.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain arrogance, you know, and a confidence, I think, is more maybe the right word, to have a Twitter handle that, like that. You know, you can't guard me, man. Even when he's 90 years old, his Twitter handle is going to say you can't guard Mike, you know, so, which is awesome. I agree with you. I think, you know, he's going to play with the chip on his shoulder. He's going to want to prove that he can do it without Drew. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a great year, and he's going to go out of his way to try to do that for sure.
And right now he could be a bargain in the third round.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you go running back, how do you feel about grabbing Michael Thomas in the third round?
No problem. I wouldn't have a problem with that. If I have running back, yeah. If Keenan Allen's available, I'll take Keenan Allen.
Well, let's talk about Keenan Allen. Allen, in average draft position, according to Fantasy Football Calculator, he is going at the number 27 pick, which is ahead of Michael Thomas. So I put him, for the purpose of this script, I put him ahead. Keenan, you know, this is one where I wish Ricky were here with us. So
yes.
Aquí con nosotros, but
we'll channel Ricky, and we'll say all those things that Ricky would be saying right now.
You know, in the off season, I got to tell you, one of my favorite moments is when I asked Ricky who would he draft between Michael Thomas and Keenan Allen, and he told me to shut up. But I mean, this is a guy 100 receptions last year. I mean, how do you turn away from 100 receptions?
You can.
And I mean, I look at him. He had 10 games with 10 plus targets. He had 4 games with 100 plus yards. He only had 992 yards receiving last year, which I think the way Justin Herbert plays, I think this is going to be up around 1,100-1,200 next year. You know, assuming 17 games,
yeah.
Full season. I think, you know, I look at him, there's so much to like. I mean, I'm so pumped about the Chargers this year.
Me too. The fact that we may be going to some games, right?
Dígame, yes, yes.
Let's go.
We might do live streaming from the parking lot.
Yeah, baby. So fi. But yeah, man. And to add to that, we talked about Michael Thomas, you know, obviously with the Saints offense. The Chargers are now getting the Saints offensive coordinator, right? And Joe Lombardi.
Muy cierto.
So we talked about a couple of years ago where Michael Thomas was getting fed, obviously set the record in the NFL for most targets. So why can't Keenan Allen do the same thing under a Joe Lombardi offense? So I'm excited just with that idea is Keenan Allen will be, you know, basically the Chargers Michael Thomas, right? And they have but now they have a guy that can be, I don't want to jump out too early and compare Justin Herbert to Drew Brees, but based on what Justin Herbert did last year, he can definitely put up some big numbers. And in a Saints offense, this lends itself very well to Keenan Allen having a super year.
The interesting thing, and this is when I had the compas on the beat, Fernando Ramirez and Gilbert Manzano, a lot of the talk is on the fact that Mike Williams is going to be playing in that Michael Thomas role. He's going to be in that receiver role.
So he's a sleeper pick. Is he the sleeper pick? He's the sleeper.
So but you know what? Keenan Allen, he's still in his prime. He's still fantastic. I look at
he's
him.
He's the man. He's el hombre on that team. He's clearly with 100 catches last year. Jesus. I mean, why couldn't he do that again?
And 100 catches really in 13 games. Because yes. he had the 13th game, he ended up with a hamstring injury where he was basically a decoy, and then he missed the last two games of the season.
Which is the annual Keenan Allen injury, right?
Yeah, but you know what? He's been pretty durable. But he battles through stuff.
This was a point.
But you know what? I think he's a guy where it's. You get 17 games out of him, you're going to get 120 or so receptions and 1,200, 1,300 yards. This is going to be a guy that you're going to want on your team.
Yes.
With Herbert, I mean, I'm so high on the Chargers because of Herbert and because of Keenan Allen.
And Eckler. That's a whole other conversation. Chargers are going to be no joke this year.
No, they are going to be no joke. I think they're going to be solid. Yeah. Last guy that is solid is Justin Jefferson. Now, and this is a guy we all loved him coming into the season last year. I don't think any of us saw him going for 1,400 yards and 88 receptions. No way.
No,
dígame primo.
He came out of a strong rookie class and he just shined. You know, last year, Jesus, Justin Jefferson, his tandem partner there, Adam Thielen, but both of those guys. But I think this year, you know, I don't see any kind of sophomore slump happening. Justin Jefferson, he may even overtake Adam Thielen as becoming the guy. I mean, the guy, Justin Jefferson, he's just fun to watch. I mean, not to take anything away from Adam Thielen, because both of these guys are great, but I see Justin Jefferson kind of taking a leap. You know, just becoming just the man. He had, week 3-17, he was a wide receiver 4. 1,330 yards, 7 TDs. I mean, Jesus, I can't wait to see, you know, some more of that this year. I think he's going to have a fantastic season. I can't wait to see some more Justin Jefferson this year.
You know, I look at him and, I mean, you said it right there. Wide receiver 4 in weeks from week 3 on. I mean, the first 2 weeks he only had 6 targets, and he ended up with 125 targets.
And then Kirk Cousins said, "Hey, wait a minute, this guy's pretty good."
They unleashed him from week 6 on. He had 10 targets in 7 of 11 games.
Yeah,
they are looking for him. To me, the only thing that I worry about is. You know, he's not going to get double coverage with Adam Thielen there, but is he going to get the number one wide receiver, number one defensive back now from the other team?
That's a good point. But guys, both of these guys are so, because Adam Thielen is the cagey veteran, right? So and that's where they want to put that top DB on him, because he can be slick. You know, with experience comes your ability to do things and to get away with things and. You know, the push-offs and those little tweaks and twerks that you can do as a receiver to get open where the rookie or the youngster might not be able to do those things. So I think you want to put your A-plus DB on that receiver that can do the things Adam Thielen can. And just because he's as cagey and as wise as he is, being a little bit older than Jefferson, I think they want to still stick Thielen, because if they're not – he's going to get those targets and he's going to score, and you know the defenses obviously don't want that. So it does put the defenses in a pretty tough position either way.
I love the fact that it's the 1-2 punch. And you still got Dalvin Cook, so you got to respect the running game.
Yes.
They upgraded. I mean, to me, there's a lot of things that were upgraded in Minnesota that are worth liking. So I look at him, and I'm just like, I don't know if I see 1,400 yards again, even with the extra game.
Yeah.
But I'm still looking at him as a top 10. I wanted to put Allen Robinson number 10 there, but then I was just like, I can't deny the kid. I was like, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Andy Dalton, who I expect to be the starting quarterback at the beginning of the season. Right. So I'm looking at him. I'm like, you know what? Vamonos with Justin Jefferson.
That's the right call for sure.
And like you said, wide receiver 4 from week 3 on. So he's going to be good. So, and you know what, how hard, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, you know, I only put 25 guys on the list, on the initial list. I mean, there are probably like five or six more guys we could put in the top 10.
It's so deep, man. I mean, we didn't even talk about any of the receivers from the Super Bowl champs. You know, we didn't talk about Mike Evans. You know, we didn't talk about, you know, Chris Godwin.
None of those guys. None of those guys.
You're Terry McLaurin, scary Terry McLaurin. You know, I mean, gee, there's so many receivers, man. It's
Allen Robinson, we mentioned. I mean, this is a guy who had 100 receptions last year, and we don't have him in there. So it's just, you know, other guys that were on the list. I mean, none of the Cowboys
Deontay,
guys.
Amari Cooper,
Julio Jones, Deontay Johnson, Robert. I mean, just all these guys. Wide receiver.
Not to mention, just the fact that you know Justin Jefferson was a rookie. Who's going to be Justin Jefferson this year? Who's going to be that rookie that just blows it out and then it's like, wow, look at this guy. Look what this guy's doing. Like, who's that? Who's that guy going to be?
Me, if it's one guy, it's going to be Devontae Smith.
Yes.
Devontae Smith
Agreed.
Is the number one choice because I think he's got the clearest path to being the top guy in targets. Number two would be maybe Jamar Chase. I think those are the only two guys off the top of my head. And granted, I've had a little vino. But those are the only two guys off the top of my head.
I don't disagree with you.
Oh, man. Well, something we got to agree on. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the familia, out to you guys. Also, thank you to YouTube for putting putting Hector's beautiful face and mine, más o menos, up on the screen. Please make sure you subscribe. Please make sure you hit the like button on our podcast. But yes. Please make sure to subscribe wherever you get your on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Find original content at familiaffp.com. And remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at familiaffp. Hector, ¿dónde te hallamos?
What the heck? 2 T's. I'm going to have to put it on, you know, this little where I have my name over here. I got to put my
put it up, baby. Put it up. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17, as you can see right on right here on the little thing. And don't forget to find us at familiaffb.com and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Again, everybody, Primo Hector, otra vez, happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. I'm looking forward to celebrating with you. And
yes,
remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adiós, amigos. Salud.